from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up in the next hour of Forum, can you crystallize your life in six words? That's what the editors of Smith Magazine asked of their readers and what we asked of our listeners. Think about it, because we'll be taking your calls and emails and postings in the hour ahead as the Smith Volume editors join us in studio and we throw out the challenge. How about some from the new book for you to consider? Frank McCourt, author of the autobiographical Angela's Ashes, quote, "The miserable childhood leads to royalties," end quote. Or controversial author James Frye, who wrote fiction and made it seem like autobiography, quote, "So would you believe me anyway," end of quote. There are a host more of examples, and they're from people in all walks of life, famous and obscure. An hour of six-word memoirs. Next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. It all changed in an instant. Sounds a bit like a pithy saying of Chekhov's to me, but it's the six-word version of a memoir by one of the contributors to a new volume of six-word memoirs, and the title of that volume by Smith Magazine's Larry Smith and Rachel Fershleiser. They compiled the New York Times bestseller Not Quite What I Was Planning, and we get pithy narrative summaries in the new volume like we did in that one, like the woman who says broke rules, dated coworker, blissfully married, or poignant ones like the vet who wrote Heart in San Francisco, Arm in Vietnam. Or how about the woman who writes of herself straight-A student, now flunking judgment? When set to the task, contributors obscure and famous hit a range of different notes and themes to crystallize their lives or elements of their lives, and there are in this new volume six-word memoirs from locals like Amy Tan, former boss, writing's your worst skill, to Cred Newmark's, the inevitable triumph of the nerds. Even your genial host took a shot at the challenge, reflecting upon my own published memoir by offering Bad Boy Becomes Aspiring Good Man. So what's yours? Feel free to join the program and give us your best shot at a six-word memoir. We already have a delightful batch that have been posted on our website, but you can add your own by calling or emailing. You can, of course, join this discussion by calling us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going on our website, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on this segment and posting something along the lines of what we're talking about, which is simply kind of the American version of haiku, a six-word memoir. Larry Smith and Rachel Fershleiser are with us in studio. Larry Smith is the Smith Magazine founding editor, and Rachel Fershleiser is a memoir editor at Smith Magazine, and we welcome you both to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is our real pleasure.
This has become actually kind of an institution. I mean, there's a book for teens. There's well, on love and heartbreak, feature stories that are built around these six-word memoirs. It has sort of really taken off, hasn't it?
It really has taken off. We threw this, my six-word memoir, the T-shirt I'm wearing is Threw Spaghetti at Wall, Some Stuck. We threw up the six-word memoir project on Smith Magazine a little over 3 years ago, didn't know what would happen. It's one of those things. And hundreds of thousands of people have submitted six-word memoirs. Some have done hundreds.
And we've gotten hundreds, and we'll read some of those in the course of the hour. But tell us a little bit about Smith Magazine.
Well, Smith Magazine is a personal storytelling site. We have all sorts of different user-generated projects. But I guess what we try to do to sort of sort out some of all the content coming in is curate it. So we feature our favorite six-word memoirs, 10 a day. We have a section of the site called My Life So Far, where any aspiring writer can do a couple thousand words of a personal essay or something they're working on.
Well, I want to give a flavor of some of these. There are a lot of famous people in this book, famous and obscure. Our own Isabel Allende is in here saying, bimbo wannabe, writer as second choice. Mm. That's so quintessentially Isabel Allende. Dave Barry writes, journalism? Ha, just make stuff up. Let me give examples of a few more here because they're really kind of fun and very revelatory. Here's Malcolm Gladwell who says, father, quote, anything but journalism, end of quote, I rebelled. And there are so many of these that do kind of try to crystallize a little bit of a payback or getting back at. Some of them are very clever. Some of them are really very poignant. And I don't want to just emphasize some of the famous people. We've got famous people galore, but we've also got really very poignant ones. Let me just give some examples here that I found really, well, touch me in some way or another. Here's a woman who says, tiny son dying in my arms. Just, you know, those six words alone convey so much subtextually. Is another one early on in the book where we have a gentleman who says, A woman who says, raped, never forgave myself, wasted life. I mean, some of these just tear your heart out almost. And some of them are just really kind of dopey and silly and stupid even. But you got some real human stories here.
Yeah, I think we were really surprised by it at first. People hear the six-word memoir idea and they say, oh, that's funny, that's clever, I'll be pithy, I'll have a laugh, have a pun. And the power in these, the bravery of people putting this out there with their full names on them, you know, found my mother's suicide note.
Little brother becomes my daughter's molester. I mean, these kinds of things.
And some of the memoirs are really intense, but they're also having a little bit of a wink of life's hardships and, you know, weird breaks. So bipolar, no two ways about it. It's telling a story, and it's also taking what's happened to you, but sort of processing it in kind of a fun way.
Went to college, came home pregnant. I mean, it's kind of that sort of fun that you're talking about here.
Girlfriend is pregnant, my husband said. That's a story.
How did you select these? I mean, because it's such a wide range. You just kind of, I mean, because you've got many, many more than are in the books.
Right. I mean, we get hundreds of thousands on our website, and we do read all of them eventually. We're too obsessive not to.
You got to be anal retentive to be in this business.
Oh, yes. And there's a lot of things that make a good six-word memoir. I mean, frankly, the ones in the book are the ones that got us in the gut, made us laugh, made us cry. It's when you're brave, you're personal, you're specific. I love those quirky details of, you know, love stories that aren't just that I found the right person, but we both hated wide-ruled paper. I like to picture them meeting in a writing class.
It makes you think about things in your own life that maybe you don't think about so much. So, for example, there's so many on religion and faith, and I'm not a very religious person, but when you wake up and you see a six-word memoir on the site, and this actually is from a local person, John Schulberg, I spell God with two O's. You just, you know, you go a certain place in your head.
Yeah, I went, in fact, one of the first things in the introduction that we see is a quote of Hemingway's, for sale, baby shoes never worn. And I thought, boy, you know, one of my favorite Hemingway quotes, I hate to admit because it sounds morbid, is five words when he says, every story ends in death. I mean, you can, why six words? Why not five words or why not seven words?
It's all Hemingway's fault. There's this great literary legend that started in a bar where all important stories begin, that Hemingway was challenged to write a novel in just six words. And, you know, it's possibly apocryphal, but we've heard a lot about it from different kind of writers and readers. And that was the story, For Sale, Baby Shoes, Never Worn. And since Smith Magazine is a personal storytelling site and we're living in such a confessional, voyeuristic age, it seemed that the natural contemporary twist on this classic concept was to do your very own life story with just those same six words.
We're also living in a very pithy age because it's the age of the internet. And six is kind of a good number. I mean, unless you go 666 and then you get into right the book of Revelations and all of that sort of thing. There's a lot of frustrated writers in this book, or so it would appear. I mean, because a lot of the confessional quality is didn't make it as
there
a writer.
There are a lot of writers and teachers and educators who have used the six-word form. But, you know, it's interesting because we do have conversations about, well, is pithiness and Twitter and things like that killing literature? But in fact, six words is very much the start. The first six-word memoir in our first book is After Harvard Had Baby with Crackhead, intense story by a woman named Robin Templeton. And we've since met her, and she's come to readings, and she's working on a full-length memoir. And that six words got her started. There have been psychiatric wards and battered women's shelters who have used the form to get people to open up a little bit. It just gets you started.
You notice on some pages how things kind of collate. For example, here's one page toward the end of the book that says, Dad died, Mom died, I'm next. Jim Crace writes, and then Barbara Gordon writes, Mom's dead, Dad's dead, I'm free. So, I mean, this is obviously intentional to show this kind of contrast. You know?
Yeah, we enjoy the juxtapositions. You know, we thought a lot when we first made the books, well, are we going to do a chapter about love, a chapter about death, a chapter about family? And that wasn't as interesting as sort of mixing it up. I like to think of the order like a symphony. It rises, it falls. Just as soon as you're giggling, something will really like hit you in the heart. And so when we get things from all different people on sort of the same theme with a different point of view, it seems really nice to look at them together.
You know, I'm going to read you from the index. We do have an index by subject matter. Here are the B's. Bipolar, bodily functions, body parts, boobs, books, booze.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of – well, actually, I like an early one which has to do with raising glasses. You know the one I'm talking about? It's a whole philosophy. Let me find it here. This is from somebody named Tom Felicia. Raise your glass, lower your standards. Right. I mean, just think about the embedded philosophy and all that.
It's a little bit Dorothy Parker. I like it.
Well, yeah. No, there is a little more than a little bit of Dorothy Parker, the spirit of her in this book as well. And like I said, you have a lot of famous people. I just wanted to give a few more examples of those. Art Spiegelman writes, don't know which self to synopsize. I mean, there's sometimes the dilemma that people want to express about trying to do six words.
It's honestly genius. And we have this six-word memoir video where we do show a few of our favorites, famous and unknown. And first you see the memoir and then you see the name. There's a really fun thing that happens when we show the video at live events. This six-word memoir comes on the screen. So, would you believe me anyway? And then there's a pause and you see James Frye. And the audience just goes nuts because they love it. It's so good.
I was mentioning before about Hemingway's five words, you know, every story ends in death. And I couldn't help thinking about the fact that there's an old joke about having to write an obituary with a certain number of words. And the woman who's the widow of this man is trying to decide what should she write because she knows she's getting charged by the word. So she writes, Mort died, Volvo for sale. You know, we could do this with obituaries, too.
A lot of people look at this like a kind of epitaph. If you sort of don't know what to write, you think about either what would I title my autobiography or what would I put on my headstone. There's the famous, I told you I was sick.
Yes.
Six words goes great on a headstone. Just a little bit of advice.
Larry, what were you going to say?
Oh, there's been, you know, hundreds of thousands of words written about Mario Batali, the celebrity chef, and, you know, a great book called Heat. His six-word memoir is, in fact, think of a better epitaph for Mario. Brought it to a boil often.
Well, when you mentioned I told you I was sick, a lot of these have a kind of emotional resonance to them that says, look, I told you so, or I want to show you this, or, you know, they're bringing some part of their self up, even vindication, really.
Yeah, that's definitely a big theme. I mean, I think when we chose It All Changed in an Instant for the title, which is a six-word memoir of a woman named Candace Sykes, there seems to be, even within six words, so many of these have a turning point. I thought this, but it's actually this. You told me this, but then I became a journalist anyway, Dad.
Well, I'm going to invite you, our listeners, to join us on this, and I'm going to read from some of the listeners who have already posted, but you can bring your own in here. Six-word memoir that sums up your life or some element of your life or something that you really maybe even would put on your epitaph or your tombstone. Give us a sense of what you would say, and you can do that. It's kind of really the ultimate compression of a narrative, really, when you think about it, by calling us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. In fact, we welcome your involvement in this program, and we'll get to your calls just forthwith and soon. It's also available, communicating to us, that is, by email, forum@kqed.org, and you can put your comments and your six-word memoirs on our website, and this will continue presumably after the program is over. It's ongoing. Go to kqed.org/forum and click on the segment. And here's what we get from some of our forum listeners. Ginny, at 73, still changing my major. Sharon, coulda, woulda, shoulda, didn't, that's life. Lisa of Berkeley, love and service fill my soul. Really nice crystallization in that. Huh? Eric writes, not empty or full for long. Again, there's the philosophy side of it. Leslie writes, tried hard to believe in humanity. That leaves you breathless a little bit, doesn't it? Jana Sonoma Connie, my six-word memoir is, I'm deaf to my best advice. Kim says, lonely child creates a happy family. Maureen, me, us, babies, now just us, which I really like. Letitia says, my life, a mess of unfinished, and then it just trails off into ellipses.
We know how she feels.
Shannon says, arrived early, hope to leave late. A few more of our listeners here. Too much time hunched over computer. John writes, I'm a work in progress. I am a work in progress. He got it to six words, too. And we'll read some more of yours, but let's hear from those of you who are waiting to get through here on the lines, and we'll begin with Sosa from up in Vacaville. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Fine, thank you.
Good. You have a six-word memoir for us?
Yes. I'm sorry. Couldn't say that enough.
That's a good one. And the story behind that is that kind of, well, it typifies what you didn't get said, huh? Your whole life has not been saying what you need to say or want to say?
Oh, addiction. It's an addiction.
Thank you, Sosa. Appreciate that. We're going to get some more of your calls on here. And by the way, You can also, as I said, post this on our website. I want to look at some more of those, like born Jewish, raised Catholic, dies atheist. Like you said, a lot, Larry, had to do with faith, huh?
Religion is really interesting. Still trying to outrun the Baptists. Blame Catholic Church for bad knees.
Let's go to Emeryville, and Becca joins us. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So my six words are mommy died, embodying, loving, impermanence.
It's lovely.
Poetic.
Yeah, it is poetic.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. You get some that are really uplifting here that, you know, can almost be, well, a lot of them have a charge to them, obviously, but I mean, some that really can actually elevate you or make your spirits go up, and then some that just really can bring you down.
It's true.
The whole gamut.
You know, when you wake up and you see this on your website, hotel sex still rocks over 50, you just, your day has started very well. And that's some of the best part of the book. You can, and the site, you really can go there. And we have a separate site for teens. And the teens, they lift each other up with their six-word memoirs.
There are some that really make you laugh out loud, too. You wanted to get to know these people, though. I mean, you have little bios of them in the back of the book in some instances.
We, for the first time in this book, we did what we call really random and sundry selected bios and backstories. It's not just a selection. Some of them, you see a six-word memoir like, peed on White House floor. Really, you kind of want to know the backstory, and so it was controversial.
Yeah, I mean, we thought about it a lot when we did the very first book. Six words can say it all. I mean, that's sort of our whole point. But it's also nice when it's just a beginning. And we were really inspired by our live events when contributors would come up to the microphone and they would say their six words, but they would also tell us more about it. And it was like, it was a poetry slam. It was a therapy session. It was such a connection of spirits that we wanted to bring some of that to the paper copy as well.
Here's one from Michael Gusty, identified by name. Emulated Hemingway, Bukowski, just drunk now.
Love that one.
In fact, there's one about having cancer and turning into a semicolon.
Oh, so genius. I think I had cancer, now a semicolon.
After cancer, I became a semicolon.
There's another great Hemingway one. He became, she became he, now gets Hemingway.
Now gets Hemingway. Here's one, I want to get a few of the writers in here, well-known writers like Junot Diaz. The only way out is in. That's almost kind of really metaphysical, isn't it?
Yeah, we were really excited to get him in the book. We've also got Tony Kushner. There are Pulitzer Prize winners in here, and then there's like your local kindergarten teacher.
In Milwaukee, at a reading a couple nights ago, this woman came up and said a six-word memoir, "I am often mistaken for a prostitute." And then she went on to talk in near tears about how she was so excited to be in the same book as Junot Diaz.
And Tony Kushner said, "At least I never voted Republican," which one
very important.
Would expect from Tony Kushner. Here is Molly Ringwald, "Acting is not all I am." It's almost as if she really needs to make that statement. You know,
that's the kind of six-word memoir that it came in. I thought, oh, well, that's nice. It's sort of an acting one from an actor. And then the more it sort of sat with me, the more I really thought it was, you know, quite a meaningful six words.
And in terms of things that everyone can relate to, certainly we're not all pretty in pink, but the idea that you don't want your career to define who you are, that people think of you as maybe only a certain kind of person and you want to not just be a lawyer or an accountant.
And here's Neil Labute, who said, "Writing is easy, life is hard." We've got some wonderful ones here. Wally Lamb, "Shiny head, hippie hair, shiny head."
Whole narrative there, beginning to end.
That's right. An epic, I mean, narrative, an odyssey. Roger, join us. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Mine would be, "Question authority, you'll get an answer."
What a great take on question authority.
Yeah, the bumper sticker. Good for you, Roger. Thank you for that. And here's Harry in San Mateo. Hi, Harry.
Hi.
You got one for us? Yours?
Yeah, mine.
Your
is,
very own? Yeah.
Mine is, "I came, I saw, I conquered."
It's I think it's Vidi, Vidi, Vici. Not original,
right.
But nevertheless, if
well,
it fits,
yeah,
wear it.
It applies. I came as an immigrant without a penny, and I have lived the American dream, so I'm sort of very proud of that.
Yeah, you should be.
We also have a great one that's Vini, Vidi, haven't Vici'd yet.
Thanks for that, Harry, and we'll take some more shortly, but let me give some more of our listeners who have, and again, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, and send these to us or put them up on our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and simply click on the segment. You can also join us by phone, 866-733-6786. Here's Lulu, who writes, "Bad parents, good shrink, happy ending."
Therapy is certainly a consistent theme on the site and in the book. Fired therapist, one mother is enough.
Some more of our listeners. Lena says, naively entrusted tribal leaders, despondently disappointed. Hmm. Here's Bruce, who says, now I know, here I go. You got multiple entries from him, as you do from some of your people, I believe. No regrets, they make bad pets. And born, grew, discovered, realized, slowed, dead. Sort of writing ahead of himself there, but that's all right. A number of people do this. I mean, they certainly contemplate on their mortality, don't they?
Two of the most passionate six-word memoirists are under 21, the teens, and really over 50, adults who have lived, you know, in a sense, many lives. And the teens, if you're a teenager, your life sort of changes minute to minute. So they do so many six-word memoirs, almost like a diary.
There's a listener named Doug who says, B-plus, good enough underachiever. And Crystal writes, from lone wolf to social butterfly. Another from a listener named Christy. It's all so bittersweet. Huh. Some of these are really quite good, huh? I knew our listeners would come through for us.
It's a pretty good city for a good six-word memoir.
Yes, I think so. I want to give a few more examples from some of the famous people you have in here. Gaita Lee says, friendship test, willingness to be inconvenienced. And again, there's a whole philosophy in there.
My phone rang one day, and it was Gaita Lee. He's like, we'd sent him like 4 books in 2 years, and he's like, I hear you're chasing me. Because we do go after some of our favorite writers, and I'm walking, so I, you know, just stopped and borrowed a pen, and I'm writing it down on the back of a gum wrapper. And it was just, you know, so delightful. It's a great life philosophy.
Well, you know, of course, cogito ergo sum, the words of Descartes, I think, therefore I am. Here's Justine McDonald who says, I cross-stitch, therefore I am. You get all those kinds of sort of playing along those lines. One of our listeners said, won't wed till gays can too. That's just apropos of the last hour we had that Dan just brought to my attention. And I'll bring some more emails to our attention from our listeners. Anne writes, is it only wisdom in retrospect? Good one. Cheryl writes, I lost every friend I had. Wow. There's the backstory you want to hear, huh? Robin writes, after affair confessed on our first anniversary. That's actually from Star. Well, and so they go. I mean, there are a lot of confessionals here. They've come to the confessional booth in many instances, haven't they?
Absolutely. And a lot about difficulty in marriages and relationships, you know, found true love, married someone else. Never should have bought that ring. A lot of regret.
And those subtle little notes people make, happy enough was her tentative reply. It's just mind-blowing and sort of devastating.
People also want to reveal kind of who they are. Here's somebody who says, I'm more Clark Kent than Superman. And it's almost as if he wants to reveal that real self through the six-word memoir, which is often done here.
I really love the ones that use sort of a cultural reference. Because when you've only got 6 words, you have to pack as much power into them as you can. And so if you use something that you know everyone understands, you know, Dorothy Gale had the right idea. And that's, you know, Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, No Place Like Home. So she really, like, by using that character, she got this whole idea that's going to be familiar to generations of people.
I like this one, too, from a young woman named Molly Savage. Got tattoo in basement, parents oblivious. It just takes a little chapter episode like that and turns
it. Well, you know how sometimes you confess something to your parents once you're an adult? I think some of that goes on here. It's okay to say it now.
Yeah. These can really be deconstructed, though, in so many different ways. That's the fun of just reading them and kind of analyzing them. But let's hear more of our listeners. Charlie from Menlo Park, join us.
Hi, yeah. So a lifetime in a machine shop brings me to machine this, you student of subtraction.
Okay. There's a lot of anger in some of these, too. Well, we'll hear some more. In fact, again, you can email them to us, forum@kqed.org, or call them in, 866-733-6786. And don't hesitate. Larry Smith with us is Smith Magazine founding editor, and Rachel Ferschleiser is memoir editor at Smith Magazine. The book is It All Changed in an Instant. More six-word memoirs by writers famous and obscure. We'll hear more ears when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. When asked to sum his life up in 6 words, the late Frank McCourt, Pulitzer Prize-winning author, came up with The Miserable Childhood Leads to Royalties. And McCourt's micro-memoir is among the many that's collected in a new book called It All Changed in an Instant. And subtitled More Six-Word Memoirs by Writers Famous and Obscure. We're talking to Smith Magazine editors who compiled the volume, and we want to hear your six-word memoir. Feel free to call it in or email it in or put it on our website. If you call it in, you go to our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. If you email it in, it's simply forum@kqed.org. And if you post it on the website, you simply go to kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. And we were talking off air about how the editors can play with things. You know, the famous Flannery O'Connor story, a good man is hard to find. You simply take the A out and you've got six words, good man is hard to find, or change it to good men is hard to find, for that matter. In fact, we've probably got some submissions here that you obviously had to cull and had to cut down, didn't you?
Yeah, we try not to mess with other people's words too much, but sometimes, you know, it's clear what someone meant to say. You get seven words. You've got an I am. You make an I'm. You can really play with this, especially when we teach a class or we work with a group of people. People think there are things they can't say in six words, and you suggest a couple of changes, and you distill everything, and somehow it works.
What are you teaching when you're teaching six-word memoir writing?
We're teaching about a couple of different things. How do you write a six-word memoir? Well, the first thing is go with your gut. Don't think too hard, because often your first instinct is your best one.
And I think really the first thing you teach is to shake the fear out of everybody. It's just six words. Write another one. Blank papers can be really intimidating, but we've done literally kindergartners and we've done senior citizens, and everybody's got that story. So if you're brave and you try it out, you can scribble it and start again. I think just really going for it.
You open up with a woman named Lila Louise Naraki. I just hope there's a sequel.
That's kind of a fun thing because it is a sequel, but it also could have been the last one in the whole book, meaning
could be life too.
Life,
right?
Is there a sequel? And so there's another one. I think the first one in our teen book is I Told You I'd Be Published Someday.
Well, there's also just on the first page. In fact, I'm wondering what went behind. You got Neil LaBute, a famous filmmaker. Writing is easy. Life is hard. And then Nearing 60, Still on Rough Draft. Isabel Lara, My Life Made My Therapist Laugh. And Beth Carter, Zip, zero, zilch, nothing published yet. There's a little bit of a motif there, isn't
there? The first page is obviously a very important page in the book. I wanted to say Candace Sykes, the writer of It All Changed in an Instant, who is an accounting manager in Kansas, is very psyched you just compared her to Chekhov today.
Well, it certainly sounds a lot like Chekhov. In fact, Chekhov has a quip very much like that. But let me go to some of these emails. Born a pessimist, not dead yet. Some of these are pretty grim, aren't they?
That's poetry.
A lot of these are poetry. A lot of these people, especially our listeners, have, as James Joyce would say, a bit of the poet in them. Bill says, held newborn daughter, finally experienced love.
That's nice.
Michelle from Sebastopol, this sums up almost everything in my life. Hawaiian, love, died, I dance hula. I always count on our listeners. Don says, hope wife 3 will be faithful.
Wow.
We do too, Don.
He finally learned to shut up, writes Stephen. And Charlie writes, best word to know? Thank you.
There's a lot of life advice. I think we're going to do a six-word advice book saying you're sorry and things like that. And a lot of the older folks really do. They want to do six words of advice.
Let's have Ron from Pleasanton on next. Ron, join us. Ron, are you there? Okay. Some more of the emails. Found daughter, found strength, lost husband. John, swore I'd never procreate. I lied. And here's Larry who says, politicians take money, nothing gets fixed. No whole political philosophy there. My six-word memoir sent by BlackBerry, contemplated suicide, but Joe brought me back. Now, you read something like, who is Joe and what did he do and how did that go down and so forth.
And then on the site, you'll get something like, I found my mother's suicide note, or Alzheimer's, she forgets, I remember. Mom's Alzheimer's, she forgets, I remember. And then people comment, and we talk all about community and things like that. And there's people have avatars in Second Life. But these six simple words on the site mean a lot to other people who are going through similar things. Very powerful.
Rachel, you're going to add?
Well, we talk a lot about people being poetic or people having double meanings. And one that I think is so amazing is by C.C. Kaiser. Unexpectedly, however belatedly, love came gracefully. Now, it sounds very poetic. It really does tell a story. It's a six-word memoir. It's also a haiku, 575. Count those syllables. When someone in the community brings in something like that and going places with our own project that we never thought we could accomplish, it's really wonderful.
And you wonder if that haiku was inadvertent or was...
Oh, no. It was carefully crafted.
Mean, people can read a lot of haikus and sort of do haikus almost like knee-jerk fashion, but it sounded very crafted, of course. Tony Hawk is a famous skateboarder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to put it down like this, lived a dream riding a skateboard. I mean, it was... so nicely crystallized in terms of what he's all about. But then you have someone like Gloria Steinem, who has contributed so much, you know, one of the major figures and movers and shakers of the feminist movement. She writes, life is one big editorial meeting.
You know, as someone who's been in life in many editorial meetings, I love that. Just, you don't need to have worked in journalism to get life as one big editorial meeting.
One of my favorite things that a lot of these memoirs do is to take one instant and then sort of extrapolate it to the rest of life, a moment that you can really understand. One of the memoirs in here is fourth choice to prom still overcompensating? You know, Larry teases me that I like the ones about dorky women. I wonder why. But the idea that something that happened...
It almost had six words in it.
Something that happened, you know, maybe decades ago can still be this moment that feels like the patterns that you create with other people.
Is there life after high school? That's six words, isn't it? It was the title of a book, I think.
Yeah, look at that. Well, there is, guys. Don't worry.
Or you could rephrase it, there is life after high school, of course, right? You can do that with so many of these. And by the way, if you have one you want to call in, now is a good time. We welcome your calls. And in fact, the toll-free line's available. It's 866-733-6786. We're getting a lot by email and by postings. Here's Deborah says, miss the boat and the train. Chris writes, Christian and gay, not an oxymoron. It's a whole philosophical.
And you see it reflects things that are going on in current events. There's one that came on the site the other day. I am Muslim, not a terrorist.
Statements of belief, statements of ontology, right? Of being. Only black. What else is new? Some of these are really, could make the final cut, couldn't they, in your book, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And people should go to, you know, our website and submit them there at smithmag.net because, you know, we're always making books. And it's just the thing about a storytelling community is every word, whether it's six words, 1,000 words, the community gets richer. And it's something that just gives back and forth. And there's a really echo chamber of writing and community that happens, I think, on Smith in so many places.
Basically, at the risk of being grandiose, we'd like every person in the world to write a six-word memoir. That's really the ultimate goal. So we'd love to have some of your stories.
You better get translators if you're going to do that. but when you decide to get the backstory, is it just mainly what you're curious about, what intrigues you or piques your curiosity?
Yeah, we're curious about everything. Some people write the six words and that's what they want to say. They've done their distillation. And some people write us many, many page letters and photographs of their children and send us origami birds to illustrate what they're talking about. So I think it's a matter of what the person feels like, how much they have to share. But some of them, especially with backstories, really bring in the rest of the community. And people, especially the teenagers, will write, I thought I was the only one.
And the backstories really came out of the live events. When you start a little six-word memoir project like we did a few years ago, you don't expect there'll be a book and tours and live events and classrooms using it and all these wonderful things. Last year at an event in San Francisco, a local writer named Stephanie Losey told the story behind her six-word memoir, He's Less Tall But More Sane. And it was this whole thing about her dad and husband. And sometimes you don't understand your own story until after you've written it. And, you know, the crowd was in tears.
Why Smith Magazine? Where's that name from?
Well, it's my last name, but that's the worst part of the name. Smith is for the everyman. Everyone, our own tagline, which is funny, when we launched in 2000.
You could have been less vain and called it Jones Magazine.
Well, it's going to be Garcia in a few years, actually, the way that you know, the census is going. But the tagline on Smith the day we launched without the six-word memoir project is, everyone has a story, what's yours? And that's six words. That's our six-word memoir. And it's for the everyman, the word Smith. We're all storytellers.
I was just informed that our phones are down. We'll try to rectify that as best we can. But we've got certainly a wealth of embarrassment of riches here in the emails and postings that are coming in. What had the most effect on your readers? I mean, which one of these, for example, can you catalog which got the most response or which
specific memoir?
Was there a specific six-word memoir, for example, that seemed to elicit more response than others?
I don't know about that one. I mean, I think What people really like to talk about, especially online, is the stuff that maybe they don't talk about with their friends or family. So when you do something like Alzheimer's or abortions or psychopharmacology, we get a lot of that, not enough Wellbutrin in the world. People like to talk about anxiety and contemplating suicide and things that are maybe more powerful to discuss with strangers, I think.
But I'll tell you one that people loved, and it is hard to sort of pick and know because people comment on different things. But this six words says so much. And actually, it's by a woman named Andy Grace who lives in San Francisco. Wasn't born a redhead. Fixed that. It's empowering. It's funny. It's specific. It's awesome.
Then you got famous ones here like Leonard Nimoy's. Live long and prosper.
Says it all.
It says it all, he goes on to add, right?
Rachel has a great story about Ann Coulter.
Ah, yes. I have a great friend who writes for Salon.com, which is a pretty liberal political site.
It's local. We know it.
Yeah. And, we have in here athletes. We have comedians. We have, not just writers, all kinds of professions. And so we wanted someone political. We write to Alex and we say, can you get us somebody really interesting and political? And he writes back, sure. How about Ann Coulter? Okay. So I email her. I don't expect to hear anything back. She writes back almost instantaneously. This was back when we were working on the book of Love and Heartbreak, and we had asked her for a six-word memoir. She writes back and says, some are left alive. Quick reload. I'm still gaping at my computer when she writes again and says, just so you know, this is not a story about love. So we had to save it for this book. But she's in here with Michael Moore, whom I imagine she doesn't hang out with that much.
We immediately went after to find Michael Moore because we didn't want to lose our San Francisco base with Ann Coulter.
Michael Moore's is, remind me.
I'm from Flint.
Oh, yeah.
You are too,
right.
Which is lovely. And it really is the Michael Moore story, actually more subtle than usual.
Here's one from one of our listeners, Mark, who says, Mark couldn't decide, left no mark. Huh. Those kind of plays, like you have one who says, wanted to marry Rich, married Richard instead, right?
I love that one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cleverness here. here's John who writes, I've made the most beautiful garbage. Huh. And another listener, this is the six-word memoir of my relationship. Both hated W, love boats, beer.
That's maybe all you need.
That may be all you need. And from postings on our website, Tim, still trying to figure it out. Kind of says a lot. Katrina, became mom, stopped loving husband, sad. Hmm. Nicole, two dogs, one husband, so far. Bruce, flawed, trying to get smarter, better. And our phones are working, so let's go to them and let's welcome Elijah.
Hi.
Hi.
It's kind of cheating with the conjunction, but it's a girl, no, it's a boy.
The judges will allow it.
Yeah, a lot of contractions are allowed here.
Yeah, we really felt like if you're going to give people such strict constraints to tell their stories, you've got to have a little leeway in punctuation, contractions. You know, some people are even more sticklery than we are. I got very close to a fist fight at the McSweeney's offices last time we were in town. But I feel like if people want to tell their stories in such a small amount of space anyway, we're going to let them mess around with the hyphens a little bit.
Are you being literal? You almost got in a fist fight? It was that acrimonious?
She's a bit of a fighter, and they're real tough over at McSweeney's.
I feel very strongly about six-word memoirs. They feel very strongly about punctuation.
We call it the three-legged cat incident.
Let me thank Elijah for the call and go to some more of yours, that is, calls, and we'll go to Walnut Creek next. Fred, hi, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Fred.
Memoir, Wish I Was a Kid Again.
Hmm.
And thought I could ask a question, too. Do you ever have duplicates?
You know, we have a lot of duplicate concepts, and there are certain memes that come back again. The I came, I saw, I conquered, I came, I saw, I concurred, I came, I saw, I conceded. We get a lot about my
life.
Is
that conceded C-E-D-E-D or E-I-T-E-D?
E-E-E-D.
No, I'm sorry. The hononymic
one.
Went out of my head.
It hurt my head. Yeah, we get a lot of the same ideas again and again, but people usually have their own twist on them.
A lot of teens have not gotten their Hogwarts letter, though.
Let me thank Fred, and on we go to Norbert in Forestville. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I've got one for you. Try to follow your own advice.
Huh.
Good. In some instances, not necessarily in others. Let me go to Christopher, and Christopher, you're on.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is actually my six-word memoir and what I intend on having on my gravestone, and it is, this is the next new thing.
Hmm.
And it's a good one for Silicon Valley, isn't
it? Hoping there's a sequel.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck along those lines, and thank you. And here's some more listener. Time rushes by, wisdom remains distant. Or how about travel the earth, love each other? And people wanting to give wisdom here. 20 years studying, 40 years repaying. Wow. That's from Ashley in Cupertino. Here's Bart who writes, found inner peace, body still suffers. PG, waiting for a Superman, fathered one.
Huh.
And some more of yours that have been posted on our website. Empires fall, empires rise, empires fall, I win. And guess what he is? A banker. Mandy writes, change name on resume, got interviewed. Bernice writes, joy she has, joy she gave. Ed, an elusive dream, fading, forgotten, unseen.
Yeah, you just hit the personal, the political, regrets, hopes, all, you know, in reading five or six.
Employment, lack thereof.
Happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, dead. Doesn't get much better than that, I guess, does it? Chris writes, poor choices, harder options, still time. So you have, you know, a lot of optimism, a lot of pessimism. Anna writes, I lived love, lust, and passion.
Sometimes you'll get optimism and pessimism and humor in one. One cavity, no, I'm sorry, one tooth, one cavity, life's cruel.
As Richard says, searching for God frequently by misdirection. He wants to give a little annotation. That means sex, alcohol, adrenaline didn't work. God seems to be saying surrender. Mike ran away to college. Life began. An unidentified listener writes, take care or later get caretaker.
Huh.
Not bad, huh?
I really like the wordplay. People do a lot about their professions. We met one woman who's a midwife who told us, my work is another woman's labor.
And here's another suggestion for me. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Another listener writes, is my life worth a memoir?
Yes, absolutely.
They've just answered the question.
The path has always been there. That's from Alan. Let's go to more of your calls. And we go next to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Michael.
Welcome.
Thanks. Hey, I wrote one unintentionally a while ago as part of a song lyric, and it goes, squandered my talents, wasted my time.
You know, so many of these could be song lyrics or song titles, right out of country western, many of them, of course.
And we have a lot of found six-word memoirs like that, old literary quotes. Emily Dickinson's written a bunch of them, and also things in music. My favorite is to find them in graffiti. Love Me or Leave Me Alone was a good one from a bathroom at a party we had.
Do you know Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Now, that's only five words, but it's one of those contractions again. But it was Albie discovered it on a bathroom wall, you just reminded me, in Greenwich Village. Totally irrelevant piece of datum. Let me go to more of your calls. And Sharon, hi.
You mean Shan, maybe?
I guess I do. Go ahead.
Well, hi.
I mean you. Well, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I call myself an itinerant poet, so I'm a 17-syllable person who you've forced into six words, but I'm going to be quick. Fortune is fickle, she'll leave you in a pickle, but don't they taste good? And I've abbreviated it, so fortune is fickle, carrying on.
Thank you.
There's actually a whole section on pickles in the index of this book.
You got a pickle section. Yeah, people being in a pickle or
you always
getting
have to have
out
a
of a pickle.
You always have to have a pickle section.
I think, have made your third volume right here on the air this hour. All you have to do is download us and leave with all the emails.
Well, you know,
and
it's
postings.
Funny. People have 40th birthday parties, weddings, where they invite their friends to write a six-word memoir about the couple or about turning 40. And, you know, and they make little books themselves. And we're actually trying to build a tool where you can make your own six-word memoir book and then, you know, pass it out at a birthday party or something.
It's true. You don't need us. If you sort of open it up at the Thanksgiving dinner table, mom, dad, cousin Ed, what are your six-word memoirs? It's amazing how much the community will build itself right there.
You could do it, you know, to honor somebody, too. Or you could do it, I mean, they have these...
You could roast them.
You could roast them. You have these celebrations of life when people die, just six words to sum up in terms of not having long eulogies.
We were sent a six-word eulogy once from a funeral for a woman's grandmother.
It was, yeah, she was a big poker player, and the granddaughter read, and it came up on Google Alerts, look, I have a royal flush.
Here's Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
Oh, hi. This isn't mine, but my husband had a patient, and on the day that Obama was elected, my husband heard the next day that he had died, and so I thought this would be perfect for him because Obama is president, man dies happy.
Hmm.
Well, you know, that's very good, and thank you for that, Andrea. There's a challenge to try to do six-word epitaphs for people who have died. We were talking about obituaries and, you know, eulogies and all of that, but also to take famous figures who are alive or dead and just give them six-word memoirs. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. It's almost a party game. You can think of anyone you want, a favorite musician, a favorite writer, or a friend, and try to think of lots of different six-word things to say.
You've got some in here. You got one for Mozart, don't you, as I recall?
Maybe someone else wrote it about Mozart. But on the site, like when Michael Jackson died, we invited people to write six-word obituaries, and it was like 400 people did, you know, ABC, PYT, RIP, you know. And it's just, it works any way you can think of it. We did six words on the Green Life with Tree Hugger. Just when you think you'll be surprised, someone does six words at a hacking security conference.
Eric joins us from Richmond. Morning, Eric.
Hi, good morning. My memoir or six-word statement would be, frozen by fear is hope near.
Hmm. It's a good one. Thank you. And you could, it rhymes. You could say, or hope is near. In fact, some of these are really very positive. This one comes from Jim up in San Jose, who says, just try it, you might succeed. And then there's a sad one from one of our listeners, Michael. Had three children, lost one, sad. Mom died, cat died, gained weight. Jim, a patent attorney, says, turning caffeine into patents since 1991. And Andrew says, smart but distracted in existential vacuum. Jan, one of our listeners, writes, barefoot baby, shot adult, barefoot senior. He said, she said, they didn't. That's from a listener named Lou in San Francisco. And Ken writes, over 60, glass still half full. And so they go. Let me go to more of your calls, and we get to Little Rock, Arkansas. Scott, hi.
Hi, thanks. Here's one for the indecisive out there. Strong possibility of a definite maybe.
Like it. Thank you for that. And we'll get some more of your calls on. Let's go to Sunnyvale next. Ann, hi.
Hi. Mine is born, lived lively, loved lovingly, died. Dying, I should say, after the end. I changed it from died to dying.
Yeah, keep it to the present.
I'm still alive.
That's right. This is not a posthumous call. We're not getting a call from heaven. Thank you for that. I'd mentioned some of the postings. I like this one, take care or later, get there, take caretaker. Again, you can be a bit morbid here, but here are some more postings we got from listeners. Light and dark, soul desired both. That's from Danielle. Peter writes, dedicated, a better life for all. Pam says, lonely voyeur makes a good artist. Hmm. Another listener writes, twilight, not yet over or begun. And Helga, immigrant from Austria, wants citizenship back. That's not about Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it? No, okay. Meredith says, can't make my mind up still. And Stacy, 45, found first love on internet. Bonnie, you're on with us. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a husband run over, driver walks free.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband's still around, but
that's not so devastating. Good.
It was a happier ending, but a horrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these go back to aphorisms and apothegms and epigrams and all of those kinds of things, really, even as they are narratives. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Some people really just want to share a philosophy or an idea, although my favorite ones are the ones that really tell a story. I like to feel like I know someone better after I've read their six-word memoir. Met wife at her bachelorette party.
You're dying to know the backstory.
Yeah. And what's that? What about the bachelor party?
Bachelor party, YouTube video. Wedding canceled.
Right. On we go to Palo Alto. David, good morning. David, are you there? I don't know where he is, but I like what he had. Love being gay, hate being gay. I mean, you get all these ambivalent ones, too.
You know, it's so interesting because for most of us, life is not black or white. It's a little gray. And there's the optimism and pessimism in so many of them. I still practice my Oscar speech.
That's kind of sweet in a way, though, almost, isn't it?
It's hopeful.
Because it
quite
can still
hopeful.
Happen.
Yeah. I mean, hopeful still and sort of poignant in its way. Let me give you another example from yours that this, for example, has such a story behind it. Stole my stuff, not my memories. And Sammy Hagar writes, you don't age while viewing beauty.
We got to love Sammy.
Aesthetic statement.
The stories that you make in your head are so interesting. The very first sort of live thing we ever did was a third grade classroom, which, by the way, was frightening. All those little eyes staring at you. And what we did was we put six-word memoirs up on the chalkboard. And we said, well, what's the story? So, never going to get a dog. Those kids could have talked about what that means for an hour. Well, maybe they're allergic. Maybe they moved to Australia. And they, you know, and like you make up the narratives in your head. And that is part of the fun.
More of your calls. Joanna, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Joanna. You're on with us.
This is a great, great show. I love it. My six-word memoir is Never Let Fear Hold Me Back. And my heart is even beating as I say it.
This show really is inspiring me. The six-word life lessons. There's so many amazing lessons just from today in six words.
Six words to live by.
Six words to live by.
There's
six
your title.
Six words to live by. We need one more word, Michael.
Six words to live by.
Yay.
I was going to say till death do us part. No. Six words to live by now. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Get it in the present, like we've been saying. And let's get another caller in the present, and that's Lee from Petaluma. Morning.
Good morning. This is not mine, but I have tried to live by it. You cannot command success, only deserve it.
Hmm.
That reminds me of six very useful words from a local author, Timothy Ferris. Think hard, work smart, play often.
Yeah, that's, I like that a lot. And, of course, Tim is a wise man and a great scientific journalist. And we thank the caller, and we go to another caller, and that's Emily. Hi.
Hi. Mine is the first line of a letter my friend wrote when she was sick in the hospital. It's, I died before you read this.
Wow.
Wow is right.
I would read a whole novel that started that way. Absolutely.
You know, some of these, and thank you for that, struck me as absolutely first lines in a novel, or, I mean, because they're good lead sentences, or they're things that can make you want to draw it behind what's
And we've
story.
Heard a lot of people using them as writing prompts or things to help you create a bigger story. But, you know, any writing teacher will tell you the first thing you want to do is cut the unnecessary words. So we figure six is a great way to start.
I was thinking this one, who's probably a teenager, a great first line of a novel, The Only Unhappy Kid at Disneyland.
David, let's get yours on before we say goodbye.
Me?
Yes.
So mine is, I came from a very perfectionist, accomplishment-oriented family. Mine is, too much criticism leads to loneliness.
Okay, and again, there's words to live by, and we'll end on that note. Thank you both, Larry Smith, Rachel Fershlizer. Give out the website for Smith Magazine, if you would, again.
www.smithmag.net. Or thanks. Just sixwordmemoir.com.
And thanks to all of you who have contributed and made this a fun hour. And keep working on those six words. You may see yourself in print. Thank you to all of you.
The Krasny Show, a dream fulfilled.
I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.